Okay, so basically the goal this year is to hilchas Sfiras HaOmer, but since it was also Yom HaAtzmaut yesterday, we're also going to take advantage of talking about hilchas Sfiras HaOmer and also talk about Yom HaAtzmaut. And I'll talk about why I want to do it this way as opposed to other ways when we get to Yom HaAtzmaut. So just to start from the very beginning. So the background for...
Can I ask a question to begin? Sorry.
Sure, what's up?
Did you shave for Yom HaTzmaut on Yom HaTzmaut?
This is not about personal
Because it looks like you
decisions.
did.
This is about general discussions.
They say, don't do as I do as I say.
Anyways, moving on. I also, my primary excuse to shave, forget anything else, is my kid cries anytime I have any sort of facial hair and he touches me. So it's a whole different
It's a form of
conversation. It's a whole nother
Habira
thing. Okay.
Garimba,
Anyway, back to the beginning of this year. So the background for Sfiras HaOmer is whether or not we're talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa or mitzvah d'rabbanan. That machlokes depends on whether or not we think that the fact that Beis HaMikdash isn't around and there is no carbon d'omer anymore, whether or not it could still have the status of the d'oraisa. The Rambam thinks it could, and basically everybody else thinks not. The other interesting idea is whether or not there has to be, is it just one day? Is each day its own mitzvah, or is there one big mitzvah that includes all of Sfiras HaOmer? So those are the two basic machlokesim that we're going to have a lot of nafkaminas when we're talking about all the different areas of Sfiras HaOmer. So let's start with who's obligated. So men are obviously obligated. I don't think that's a big chiddush to anybody. The question is women. So there are really two different arguments, I think, when we talk about women. One is as in general is true, right? Any mitzvah seishas man grama, women aren't mechoyevim. However, women do have the I guess the option with certain mitzvahs. We say that women accepted it, and now it's like a chiyuv. For example, listening to shofar, even though it's mitzvah seishas man grama, women clearly accepted that chiyuv on themselves and are therefore mechoyevim hearing shofar. So the Magen Avraham thinks that women also accepted the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer and are therefore chayiv to count. I think most people don't agree with that. Most Pesachim don't think like that. Don't think that they have a chiyuv, and therefore if they don't have a chiyuv, then you have the classic argument whether or not it's a Sephardi Ashkenazi thing, whether or not women make brachas on mitzvahs that they volunteer for. So that's Ashkenazim think they do, and Sephardim think that they don't. Same, just like by sitting in a sukkah, whether or not they would make a bracha on Leishah B'sukkah. Now, there's another reason why you shouldn't count, which also has an interesting nafkamina for medical professionals, I guess. That is, if you think, going back to the beginning here, if you think that the whole mitzvah is one big mitzvah, so then if you know in advance, that you're going to miss one day, you potentially have this. There's this idea that you could be the mefreya having a bracha levatala, right? So it's from the top. If right, the whole Sfiras HaOmer is one big mitzvah. The one big mitzvah is every day you have to make a bracha. Now, if I know in advance I'm going to miss a day, the contemporary example of that, I guess, is if someone's having a surgery, he's going to be out for a day. There's going to be one day during Sfiras HaOmer where he will not be able to count. So I know in advance I won't count if it's one big mitzvah and that big mitzvah is every day doing a bracha. If I know that on day 30 I won't be able to count, so then I would potentially, when I start counting on day one, I'm potentially putting myself in a situation where l'mafreya I'm going to have a bracha levatala, right? Because I know I'm going to miss.
Do you ever know for sure that you're going to be out?
So that's why I give the example of someone who's going to be in surgery or something like that. For whatever reason, for 24 hours, he's going to be out. I don't know. Or something along those lines. So in that case, you're l'mafreya going to be in a situation where you made a bracha levatala. So Mishnah Berurah thinks that you shouldn't make a bracha. Now, the same argument could theoretically be applied to women as well. If we assume, again, the most people making these arguments are potentially not living contemporary life, and it could be that Matthias is a little bit differently. But if we're assuming that women aren't going to be able to remember to count because, as we all know, women are baking and taking care of the kids all day, so they're going to be preoccupied and they're too busy, so then maybe they shouldn't be able to make a mitzvah either because it's one big mitzvah. Now they're the mafreya, going to have a bracha levatala. You could potentially make that argument. I think most people would tell you nowadays for sure that women should be making a bracha. We're not worried that they're going to be too preoccupied and won't remember, or if they're not going to remember, it's just as much chance as a man not remembering. So there's no real difference between the two. And also in regards to the main point here, which was this idea of whether or not there's some sort of bracha lebatala, the Rosh Hashanah Zalman at least thinks that the whole idea, I think he's right, it makes a lot of sense. The whole idea of bracha lebatala mafreya is weird, right? The fact that I know now that in the future, maybe I'm making a bracha lebatala, and therefore it should count all the days that I counted before with a bracha would be Levatala, that's a very weird idea, and I'm not necessarily sure passing on like that. So Shlomo Zalman definitely thinks that you would make the bracha, both for women, obviously, everybody would say that, but also for even if you're going to have surgery or whatever it is, that you know that there's going to be 24 hours, you're going to definitely miss a day, you would still make a bracha in advance. There are a couple of other interesting situations that come up. These I don't know in advance that I'm going to miss, but they do come up where you only started your chiyuv in the middle of Sriyas Omer. The classic example is someone becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Sriyas Omer. So before now, he was maybe making a bracha someone that wasn't bar chiyuva. After his bar mitzvah, he's making a bracha as someone who's a bar chiyuva. So maybe since he's really only starting the mitzvah in the middle of Sriyas Omer, he shouldn't be making a bracha. So we don't pass him like that. We assume if he was making a bracha, but till now he could keep making a bracha. But this is every good bar mitzvah kid who has a bar mitzvah during Sfiras Omer is probably going to talk about this is going to be the bar mitzvah drasha or whatever it is.
It could be the opposite in that if you know by the end of Sfira he's going to have a chiyuv in having counted Sfira, that he should make sure that he makes a bracha the entire way so that by the end of it he's fulfilled Sfiras Omer.
But that assumes that the brachas that he was making when he wasn't bar mitzvah has the status of a bar chiyuva.
No, because my point is that even according to those who hold that every day there's an independent mitzvah, there is definitely this kind of culmination of the mitzvah at the very end in which the mitzvah comes to a close, right? It's kind of like you kind of fulfilled something by counting every single day. And even though on a specific day he might not have been Mechuyev, but at the end he's fulfilled this. I mean, the whole sphere, you haven't counted sphere. Like, I guess you're saying that's just the opinion of the whole thing being Sphere Somer, but I feel like everybody agrees to a certain degree that there's this mitzvah fulfilled by counting the whole thing. I don't know.
According to those. If you're going to pass in, or if we're going to assume like the Rishonim, where it's possibly the Onion that hold that it's one big mitzvah, right? Then it depends. Then you have to have done the one big mitzvah as a bar chiyuva. If before you were bar mitzvah, you weren't doing it as a bar chiyuva, so then you didn't do the mitzvah as a bar chiyuva. Technically, you just couldn't. You are bar mitzvah. We don't pass them like that. But I'll tell you the situation where it comes up where it would be you are definitely not a bar chiyuva, which is different than a katan, which is someone who becomes a ger in the middle of Sfiras Omer. So he was a goy for the first half. Now he's Jewish. So he can't count with a bracha because up until now he had no mitzvah. He can't start in the middle. So because we're machmir, so he wouldn't say a bracha for the second half. The other interesting case is an onin, someone who his relative died. He hasn't yet buried him, so he can't. So he can't make the bracha. He can't do mitzvahs until he actually buries his relative. So if a full day goes by and he, for whatever reason, they couldn't bury, so he wasn't able to make a bracha that whole day, so he misses a day. So some say maybe he can at least count without a bracha. So just say the number and that will be good enough in order to get him, in order to allow him to still continue counting afterwards. That's one idea. Okay, moving on to when can you actually count? So in general, at least according to Rav Meisha in America, nighttime is after 50 minutes after Shkia, after sunset. But for Sfira, it's possible we can assume that you can actually start counting earlier. There's going to be an interesting nafka mina based off that argument. Earlier meaning after Shkia, but still before Tseis. So within those 50 minutes, you might have a little bit of leeway. And if you do count... we're going to be machmir in both directions now because we're not sure when day is and when night is. So if I count before, after Shkia, but before Tseis, so then I'm going to count, I'm going to have to count again, but without a bracha, right? So the situation where this comes up is if you're davening in a shul where they're davening Ma'ariv after Shkia, obviously, but it's still before Tseis and they make a bracha and count Tzviya Soimer. So you should count with them without a bracha, al-tnai, that if you remember later that you don't want this to count, and then you're going to count again later with a bracha. That's the atzna you should use, right? This way you won't forget. And then there's a whole another list of complications which I don't want to get involved with, which is if you accept Shabbos early, because if you accept Shabbos early, is it the next day? Is it this day? Because that's before Shkia, right? So then what day is that considered? And it's a whole another list of problems. I don't want to get involved in it. Basically, just always assume we pretty much assume the Chumrah, and you should just wait until night to actually count. Now, things that you're not allowed to do once there's a chiyuv to start counting. So, right, in general, you're not allowed to start a meal. You're not allowed to get a haircut, to bathe, things like that. Once there's a chiyuv for a mitzvah starts. The question is, when does this chiyuv actually start? We have two different options. We have a couple different options here. So the general time frame is a half hour before that chiyuv, right? The chiyuv here, though, we can assume the kula, really, and say that it starts a half hour, depending which direction you want to use it. So if I want to, let's say, eat right before Shkia, so then I will assume that it starts a half hour before 50 minutes, which still gives me 20 minutes to eat after Shkia to actually start my meal. So I can always assume I can always assume that the chiyuv won't start until later. Now, this also is going to end up coming up when you actually forget to count. So there's a couple of different, so I'll start from the beginning. So we start in the beginning here that there's a machlokes whether or not it's one big mitzvah or each day is its own mitzvah. So if I forget to count at night, which is when you're actually supposed to count, so I could still count the next day, but without a bracha. If I forget to count the next day, I have until Shkia, or possibly even a little bit longer than Shkia, right, till 50 minutes, because we still have a suffix about whether or not that time counts as the previous day. So between Shkia and 50 minutes, I could still count for the previous day and still be able to count the following days. That's one interesting nafkamina from what we were talking about before. Another interesting idea by, in general, forgetting about counting is if you're not sure if you counted the previous day, I don't remember if I counted on day 30. So on day 31, I could still count with a bracha because I have a sfek seka. One suffix is did I actually count the day before? I'm not sure. And the second suffix is, going back to the original machlekes here, is every day its own mitzvah, or is it one big mitzvah? If every day is its own mitzvah, then I could definitely count. So I have a sfek sveika. With the sfek sveika, I could still continue counting with a bracha. As far as the actual counting itself, so you need to say hayom, right? Hayom, yom, whatever it is. If you don't say hayom, then you don't fulfill the chiyuv, which means if someone asks me what day it is and I didn't get count, I can answer back 33, right? As long as I don't say today is 33. If I say today is 33, I did my chiyuv. If I just say 33, that's just a number. That's meaningless. That doesn't count as anything, and I would still be able to say the bracha. On the flip side of that, if all I say is 33 and I don't say hayom is day 33, then I'm not yotzei machiyuv, and I would still have to count. And if the next day, if I didn't say the whole day, and the only thing I said was 33, so then I can't keep counting with the bracha because I didn't actually count at any point. The other interesting argument is that in general we count days and weeks. So if I only count days, that's good enough. But if I only count the weeks, that's not good enough. I have to mention what day it is as well.
What if you say the days and the weeks, not the days? So you say hayom, today right now is 21. So you say hayom shlosha shavuot laomer, or let's say yes, the day before hayom. But you don't say hayom, esrim yom shehem, shnei shavuot shayam yom laomer.
You mix it up a little bit.
You don't say today is the number. You don't say today is 21 days. You just say today's 3 weeks to the omer.
So I don't think that's good enough. You have to say what day it is, how many days it was. We care about days more than about weeks.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that that's right. On the other, this is for Judah. Actually, I thought about you when I was putting this down. The other interesting way to be yotze the mitzvah is it's possible when you're writing things down that would also be considered as counting. So if I write down today is day 21 after Shkia and I didn't yet count, it could be I now cannot count with the bracha.
I've only seen one person say that.
I either quoted it in his thing, so.
I've seen that in the name of the Ksav Sofer.
It could be that's how he said. I don't remember.
I've literally only heard the name of Ksav Sofer, but it's possible other people say it. I heard the Rav Salvechik had a few things about this, whether it's a nice thing.
It could be. I'm not sure. But that's I didn't want to get involved with the whole sugya. There's definitely a tzad like that. I don't know if that's how we would paskin practically. And now for the fun part of the whole Sefiras HaYomim, which is the reason why we're here right now, which is talking about Avelis. So I'm going to just start with a couple of halachos of Avelis, and then we'll get into the draw. So for the Avelis itself, so in general, the minhag of Avelis here is a little bit later on. That's one thing that's important to keep in mind. It didn't start right away. So it's unclear exactly when it started. If this is Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, these are different because of different programs. There's a couple of different things that happened here that we can assume that Avelis was related to those. So it's unclear how early this starts. That's number one, good rule of thumb to keep in mind, which fundamentally makes it different than, for example, the 3 weeks, where it's very clear when that Avelis starts. It starts much earlier on. There's a much stronger precedence for it. So importantly, things like engagements, parties are okay as long as you don't use musical instruments. There's no issur against saying shechianu, so you're allowed to buy new clothes, you're allowed to eat new fruit, all those things are mutter, there's no problem. Now, just as a general argument, we'll talk about the exceptions. Men and women can't get haircuts, they can't shave. Women could probably shave their legs or whatever it is, definitely for mikvah and probably also just in general. But that is just to be aware, that's not so simple. It's also a question. One other interesting idea it also illustrates the fact that this Avelis isn't exactly so early on, is that there's a bunch of different minhagim about when the Avelis starts, when it ends, right? Some people just do Lag BaOmer, some people do from Mishchaydish. There's a whole bunch of different options. So there's at least a machlekes whether or not you have to do a Taras Nedarim when you switch from one to the other. If let's say in general I do from Chol HaMoed until Lag BaOmer, and then I'm getting married right after Pesach, so I want to switch my Avelis. So according to Ramesha, you could change it from year to year without doing any Ataras Nedarim. Rav Aaron Cutler thinks you do need to do Ataras Nedarim in between. This is all these halachas are pretty much illustrating the fact that this Avelis is later on, and there are a couple of important caveats to the actual din Avelis here. Another example actually is this is the shaving section, whether or not you can shave during Sefiras HaYomim. So
obviously you can't.
Yes, Daniel, yes. Bris and before Achasa, before his Ofrof, you're allowed to shave and you're allowed to get a haircut. Even not the same day, even the day before. So for example, last year, my kid's Bris was doing Sefiras HaYomim, so I was able to get a haircut, even though that was when I do Avelis, because it's considered a yantav for me. Right, another example of a yantiv is the classic example of Lag BaOmer. Right, Lag BaOmer is a happy day, so we annul the Avelis of Sefiras HaYomim for that happy day. The Mishnah Berurah says this is an interesting exception that comes up specifically, came up this year, which is if Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh fall out at the same time, it's enough. It's both Kabbat Shabbos and Kabbat Rosh Chodesh, so that's enough to let you shave. What's interesting is, if Rosh Chodesh is Friday and Shabbos, there's this thing from Yehuda Chassid that you shouldn't shave or get a haircut on Friday on Rosh Chodesh, which would mean that if you want to be makbid on that, you should potentially have to wait till you wouldn't be able to shave before Shabbos, because in general, shaving before Shabbos means shaving on Friday, and on Friday is Rosh Chodesh, so you might not be able to shave. So Ramesha doesn't think you could just ignore Yehuda Chassid. It's whatever. It's not really a sakana that we're particularly worried about, or whatever exactly his problem was. Reb Dalsky at least thought that you should shave or get a haircut just through Thursday. That's still considered close enough to Shabbos to be doing it in honor of Shabbos, and that'll be good enough to shave then. As the one that maybe some here are more familiar with is the one that has nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh, but just in general, Kavod Shabbos. The argument is Kavod Shabbos is a mitzvah deraisa that should take precedence over whatever this minhag avelos is, which is unclear what it is. So definitely Kavod Shabbos should take precedence, and you should definitely be shaving on Friday. That's I think the Gushnikim amongst us are familiar with that argument. I think also the Chafetz Chaim people are into this.
Just to clarify, it's a little bit more than that. It's this notion that the Avelis is clearly not Avelis of Shloshim because it's more than Shloshim Yom. And so
I'm going to get to that point in just 1 second. I separated them into two arguments, but you're right, there probably is some sort of overlap. The the argument that will give you more leeway to shave more frequently is the Rav Shechter or Rav Salvechik argument, depending on what you want to call it, which is the Avelus of, since it's like this weaker Avelus, this Avelus is the Avelus of Shana, right? There's different stages. There's Avelus of Shiva, there's Avelus of Shleishim Yayim, and there's the Avelus for a full year that you only do for your parents. So the Avelus for the full year is the least Avelus argument, is the least strong Avelus. So that Avelus is according to, so that Avelus lets you get a haircut anytime his friends tell him that he looks ugly, right? So if your friends tell you look ugly, you're allowed to shave. So that would have really let you shave potentially, depending, I guess, on how quickly your hair grows back or how nice your friends are. That would potentially let you shave every 2 or 3 days. After 2 days, after 3 days, you already start looking messy. So then you could shave more frequently than just Erev Shabbos. So Daniel, it's your point is right. I'm pretty sure when at least the Lichtenstein people use it, the Gush people use it, they're using both arguments. But technically it's two different arguments. Yeah. But you're right. That is when they use it. So now let's talk about Yom HaTzmod. Now, in general, when I spoke about Yom HaTzmod, I always did in the context of whether or not you could say Hallel. I don't think that's really fair, and I think this is a better way to do it. And I think the reason is because part of the problem...
What? Never mind. Is it in terms of Reshit Pricha Gulatenu? Because you already talked about that last year.
So I'm not talking about that. That's my point. So I'm sort of trying to avoid doing that. So the idea is sort of that in general, when you're talking about, so we're not talking about whether or not it's a good thing that Israel was started. I don't think that's really up for discussion for anyone who's making a serious argument. There maybe were a few people before the state got established that had the argument, but after it was established, no one is suggesting that, you know, it wasn't a good thing, except for some crazy people who were totally ignoring some Neturi Karta and nobody cares about them. So what we're talking about, though, is a much more serious halachic argument, which is, can you... can you make a yantiv? B, if you're making does saying halal, which may or may not depend on whether or not you can make a yantiv, and C, which is why it's interesting in this context, is can now this day that you just made have the power to get rid of the avelus of Sfiras Aimer? Because we know Lag BaOmer can get rid of Sfiras Aimer, we know Bris Milah can get rid of Sfiras Aimer, so we have precedent for it. Can we just start another day where we get rid of some of the avelus of Sfiras Aimer? So we have a whole bunch of interesting arguments. I don't really understand any of them, but I'll tell it to you, and then I'll tell you why I don't understand any of them. So the first one is you need it, right? So this whole idea about whether or not you can make the new yantiv. So people get a little bit offended about this argument. I'm not really sure why. Esther, if you go through the arguments in Purim, she has a very hard time. She's trying to establish Purim as a holiday that we keep every year. She has a very hard time doing it. There are letters that are going back and forth. And she has Mordechai on her side. This is one of the Achik Nesli people. Last people for Nashik Nasagdala, probably, right? So we have these people that are established halachic authority that most people recognize, and still she has a very hard time making Purim. It's not exactly a chiddush that would be a difficult thing to do to make a new yantiv. The fact that we could just show up and say we're making a new yantiv is definitely halachically challenging. Even if you want to use Nevi'im sources, even they had problem with it, or whatever this is, post-Nevi'im, Ksuvim sources, they had a problem with it also. The other problem is, even if, let's say, we accept the fact that maybe you could make a Yantiv, which is interesting, to say the least, you'd also then have to accept the fact that the Rabbanut has the legal authority to make that argument, to make that new Yantiv. It's unclear if Rabbanut is halachically binding to the rest of Klal Yisrael. It's not clear that that's the central halachic authority. It's not like a Sanhedrin that's sitting in the Beis HaMikdash. It's very different. So those are some problems, the general idea of just making a yantiv. Rav Salvechik has a problem with, I heard him say that, again, obviously on a recording, that he thinks that only Nevi'im can be misakin in the yantiv. I don't really know what that means because Hanukkah is after the Nevi'im. Hanukkah is well after. Nevi'im ends end of Bayis Rishon times. Hanukkah is halfway through Bayis Sheni. There are no Nevi'im. I understand. It's some sort of what?
Hanukkah's after Purim.
Purim's after the Nevi'im.
Purim's also after, yeah, but Nevi'im, at least Purim, we have Ksuvim, maybe we're a little bit closer. But you're right, Purim's also after Nevi'im. So I'm not really sure what he means. I assume there's some sort of authority of Chazal. If you just phrase it that way, then I have no problem. If you want to say that the argument is, after Chazal, we're not adding anything new, then that I hear. I don't really understand what he means by Nevi'im. Maybe he just was saying Nevi'im, wasn't emphasized. I'm not really sure. Now, the other thing we should think about is let's say we're not comfortable with saying that it's a yantiv, but maybe saying Hallel is okay, right? It's unclear. Hallel might be less of a step. Again, depending on who you look at, who you read, different people are making different arguments, and there's no real sources for any of this. But if we have a Gemara that tells me you could say Hallel when something good happens to the Jewish people, we all agree that something good happened on Yom HaTzmaut, so maybe we could say Hallel. Again, then you're going to have the argument back. Can you add things to davening? Can you not add things to davening? I'll give you examples back and forth. And then, I'm totally ignoring, by the way, just to make sure that this is obvious, this was sort of my first point, but I didn't actually say it. People are going to start, when they have these discussions, they talk about all these Agarat Gemaras. This is the beginning of the Geula, not the beginning of the Geula. This happened. I don't know how to use Agarat Gemaras in a halachic context, so I'm just completely ignoring those arguments. I just don't understand how to even begin talking about them. So I don't know what that means, so I'm leaving that alone.
What's the question? Okay, what's your question about establishing a holiday?
Very good. Well, it's a fast nafkamina. One is, can I now play the music? Can I go to a party where they're playing music? Can I shave? Can I get a haircut? Can I? No, I'm pretty sure that's it. And can I say halal? I guess those are the four. Those are really the four practical halachic nafkaminas.
You could say halal without a bracha any day because you can say.
But there's a difference. But people want to say halal with a bracha. B, right. People want to say halal with a bracha in the middle of davening. That's more intense. So that's also a bit of a problem. I hear from my father that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein wasn't so into saying Hallel on Yom HaTzmaut. He was more, because Yom HaTzmaut, all we really did was, we had five Arab nations declare war on us. It's fundamentally different than something like Yom Yerushalayim, where they conquered back the Beis HaMikdash. That's, so at least we can, you know, we have an achievable, something happened. I don't know. The point is,
and Rav Lichtenstein himself, both of them, definitely Rav Aram, I think Rav Amital also disagreed with making a bracha on the halal, but the yeshiva always made a bracha on the halal.
My father tells me that they got someone to say a bracha tal and everybody else would just be yotze with the chazan.
Kind of.
Right. Yeah, except for the people like you in the background that were saying with the bracha as well. We're not getting involved. I'm just pointing out the arguments. We're not making anything political or anything else. The problem is because everyone's having the wrong car. Okay, hold on. Let me just finish the halakha part of this, and then we can have a different conversation. The other problem here is, so some people have this idea that you can listen to live music, but you shouldn't shave. Because if you shave, then you're obviously breaking the avelus. You're making you're taking a stand on the fact that you stopped doing the avelus. But listening to music, there's no big stand. I honestly have absolutely no idea what that means, but I'm just telling you the argument. So I think my bottom line is, from all the Yom HaTzmaut arguments, is I don't really understand what any of them mean, but these are the different things that people are talking about.
I'm really sorry. I have to go because I'm being thrown off the Wi-Fi.
Bye-bye.
So thank you very much for your share.